Today's daf is Yevamos daf Pei He, and we are 18 lines from the bottom of daf Pei Dalet Amid Beis, the two dots Gufa. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Rufu Shalema for Avadia ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mechel, Shmu ben Tehila, Baruch ben Rachel, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Sar Nechama bas Rus Malka, Miriam bas Rivka, Leah Gittel bas Devorah, and Esther Kreindel bas Devorah. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Reb Zecharia Shimon ben Reb Yitzchak Kakoyen, and Le'ilui Nishmas, Shlomo ben Yebo. So yesterday we began the ninth perek of Masechtas Yevamos, which teased us initially with Inyanei Yevamos, but then immediately began to feel a little bit like the last 20-30 dafin, which discussed Psulei Kahuna, laws related to a Chalal, a Mitzri Sheni, a Mitzri Shlishi, a Mona L'Kayim Gadol. Halachas related to Truma, and in fact, today's daf is very much going to be a continuation of that theme. It's just kedai to mention, we didn't speak this out yesterday, the first Tosfos in the Perek. So Tosfos is bothered, why was the Mishnah of Yesh Mutarois even necessary? The Mishnah really is just chazara of a lot of ideas that we're already familiar with. So what is even the point? And Tosfos has two pshatim. Tosfos brings a pshat in the name of Rab Yehuda ben Rab Yontif. He was one of the Bali Tosfos. And he said, Dechein derech ha-tana. It's the derech of the Tana. La'achash ha-pirish hilchos ha-mesechta. After the Tana was mefarish all the halachos of the mesechta. Choyzer v'shoyna oysen b'washin katzer. Kidei sheyiyu misudarim b'yadcha u'shmurim b'pevelev. The purpose of this Mishnah is to remember it, to chazer it, to know it bal peh, because if you know this Mishnah, a lot of the halachas of Masechtas Yevamos are going to be mesudarim biyadcha u'shmurim bepevaleh. So it's not that there's necessarily any tremendous chiddush and halach in this Mishnah. It's more a sikum, a summary of a lot of the things that we've already seen. V'oid omeri, and then Tosfos said in the name of the Ri, that it could be the Mishnah is trying to make a point. There is a halachic punchline here as well. And that is, the ikur tachlis of this Mishnah was the case of yesh asurois lebaleyem umutarois liyabneyem. And said the read that that in and of itself is a tremendous chiddush. Why? Because we know Yibum is really a continuation of the original marriage. Reuven and Shimon were brothers. Reuven dies, leaves over no children. So there's a mitzvah for Shimon to marry Eshes Reuven. And the concept is not just to create a new marriage, but really there should be a hemshach. There should be a legacy. The memory of Reuven should be perpetuated. So essentially, Yibum is a hemshach of the original marriage. If that's the case, the whole idea that you have a woman that was usher to her husband, but's going to be mutter to the Yabam, should almost be, pun intended, dead on arrival. Because to the extent that she was usher to her husband, so this is not a marriage that we should be looking to perpetuate. This is not a marriage that we should be looking to create a hemshach for. And it could be such a marriage, being that it's flawed at its root, maybe wouldn't allow Yibum. And that's what the Mishnah wanted to say, that there's a concept of mutarois liyabmeyem, despite the fact that these women were asuris lebaleyem. Either way, today's daf is going to pick up on a detail that was mentioned in the course of yesterday's daf, and that is something that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav. The Gemara is going to repeat what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav said. We don't have to speak it out bal peh. We could just jump in. Gufa zok the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, lehuzaruk sheirois lehinosei pesulim. There's no isser that says that a bas koyen, that's a kshera, is not allowed to marry a posel, is not allowed to marry a chalal. In other words, we know a koyen is not allowed to marry a chalala. There's a list of women that a koyen is not allowed to marry. The most notable is a grusha. But in addition to a grusha, a koyen is not allowed to marry a zayna. A koyen is also not allowed to marry a chalala. You could have thought that if a koyen, the zachar, is not allowed to marry the chalala nekeva, then maybe the bas koyen nekeva should not be able to marry a chalal the zachar. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, lo yhuzaru kesheirois lehinosei lepsul. Now what exactly is a chalal and a chalala? It's going to be the subject of the raid. But just to quickly chazer, a chalal is someone that was born from Psulei Kahuna. So if a koyen marries a grusha, has a child, that child is going to be a chalal. If a koyen gadol marries an almana, that's not okay. They have a child, the child is going to be a chalal. So in the event that it's a zachar, he's a chalal. In the event that she's in a keva, she would be a chalala. Now, there's another way for a woman to become a chalala, and that is in the event that a woman was nivala to in a oifin where it was psulei kahuna. So, for example, Kohen Gadol married an almana. That almana herself, she wasn't born a chalala, but being that she wasn't allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol, once she's nivala to the Kohen Gadol, that would make her into a chalala. But the point is, there's the male version, chalal, and there's the female version of a chalala. A Kohen is not allowed to marry the female chalala, but the bas Kohen, a Kohenes, is allowed to marry the Kohen chalal. That's a little bit of a chiddush, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda Merav said, that lo yhuza ruk sheirois, a bas Kohen does not have an iser, li nase psulim, to marry a kohen, that's a cholo. So the Gemara says, "Leimem sayelei." Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said this as his own chiddush. The Gemara says, "I think perhaps we could bring a raya to what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said from our Mishnah." How so? The Mishnah was discussing the example of mutarois lebaleim, the asurois liyivmeim. That was the first category of what was mentioned in the Mishnah. The second example of it was, you had a cholol shenasa ksheira. A cholol was married to a ksheira, the yeshloi ach kosher, and he has a brother that's not a cholol, that's a kosher. So why is this a case of mutares lebaleim vasuris liyivmeim? A cholol married a ksheira is allowed to marry a cholol. There's no problem for a woman to be married to a cholol. However, once this woman is nivala to the chalal, she now becomes a chalala. Someone that's nivala to a chalal becomes a chalala. So if she now becomes a chalala, that lach is, she would not be allowed to marry a kohen kosher. A chalala can marry a chalal, a little confusing, but she's not allowed to marry a kohen that's a kosher. So chalal shanasa ksheira, she is mutter to her husband. She's mutaris lebaleim. However, if she ever fell a yibum, there would be a problem because this chalala now would not be able to marry a kohen that's a kosher. So what's the raya? My love, when it says chalal shanasa ksheira, aren't we talking about a kohenes? Even if she's a kohenes, ha-ru'uyaloi, and the reason she would be considered a ksheira is because she is ru'uya. Probably the chalal shanasa ksheira was a kohenes. And if that's the case, then you see clearly, umay ksheira, ksheira l'kahuna. So you see she's considered kosher, because she's mutaris l'baleim. So you see that a bas kohen is a allowed to marry a chol. Now, where do you see that she's talking about a kohen? So Rashi says, based on a Gemara, an interesting Gemara, it's actually Divrei Agado, in Masechtas Psachim Daf Mem Tes, where the Gemara says that a kohen l'chatchila should marry a bas kohen. So all things equal, a kohen is looking for a shidduch, he should try to marry a bas kohen. So when we talk about a woman that's ksheira l'kahuna, we mean the idea. And the ideal would be for the kohen to marry bas kohen. So if we're talking about a cholol who would marry someone that was ksheira, ksheira probably doesn't just mean she's an isha ksheira. It probably means that she is a lechatchila woman for him. And if that's the case, she must be a bas kohen. And still the Mishnah says she's mutares lebaleim. That's the case that we're dealing with over here. So you see clearly that a bas kohen is allowed to marry a cholol. Kohen's not allowed to marry a cholola. Lema misayele. This is a riot to Rabbi Yehuda Merav's chiddush that lehuza rukcheirois leinase lepsulim. But the Gemara says, it's not muchach that when it said ksheira means that she's a kohenes, and ksheira l'kohuna in the sense that she's ideal, she's a chatchila to be able to marry a kohen, but rather lo yisraelis. You know what it means when it says she was a ksheira? It means she was a yisraelis. Well, my ksheira, ksheira l'kohol, it just meant she was a nisha ksheira. She was a woman that was allowed to get married. She's a nisha ksheira. She's not a mamzera. She's not a nesina. She doesn't have any problems. So ksheira doesn't necessarily mean ksheira l'kuna. Ksheira just means that she's a nisha ksheira. But la'olam, maybe if she would have been a bas kohen, then it wouldn't have been okay, because a bas kohen really is not allowed to marry a cholol, just like a kohen is not allowed to marry a cholol. But ihachi freit the Gemara, if that's the case, yesh lo yach kosher. The Mishnah mentioned the word kosher again in the same exact case. The case was where this husband, the man, had a brother that was a kosher. So what does ach kosher there mean? Nami kosher l'kol? Does it mean that he's kosher l'kohol? Meaning he's a kosher in the sense that he's mutar lavi l'kol? If that's what it means, mechlal dehu pasul l'kol. That would then mean that the brother that's the cholol is also pasul l'kol. And it can't mean that he's pasul l'kol. Because if that brother is pasul l'kol, then that would mean that she's aser l'baleyem, because he's someone that's aser lavi b'kal Hashem. El olav koyen. What does it mean when we say yeshloi ach kosher, the way we explain the Mishnah, where we learned it? It means that he's a kohen kosher, and he's kosher for all in yonei kohuna. Nu umidahu kohen, he kohenes. Yes. So if when the Mishnah, in the same line, says, Yesh Layach Kasha, what does Kasha mean? On the Kohen level. So when we refer to this woman as a Ksheira, probably also means on a Kohen level. What would it mean on a Kohen level? She's Ksheira Lekahuna. What's Ksheira Lekahuna? Zak Rashi, Psachim, Mem, Tesam, and Aleph. It means that she's a Bas Kohen. So you see, clearly the Mishnah is talking about a Bas Kohen. So if he's a Kohen, he Kohenes, and therefore it's a Bas Kohen. So you see, a Bas Kohen is allowed to marry a Cholo, because it's mentioned in the cases of Yesh Mutarois Lebalem, a little convoluted, but the Gemara says, either way, after this whole cheshbon, it's not a right, because midi iria, what shaychis? Hakadi isa v'hakadi isa. When we refer to the woman as a ksheira, maybe it means she's ksheira lakal, meaning she's not an isha psula, she's a woman that a cholo was allowed to marry. Cholo's allowed to marry, so therefore it's okay. Doesn't mean she's ksheira lakahuna, doesn't mean that she's the most ideal woman for a kohen to marry, per the Gemara, m'sachem m'tesam at Aleph, mechatesi. Maybe it doesn't mean ksheira lakuna on that level. Now, when it says v'yesh loy ach kasha, what did that ach kasha mean? That ach kasha meant he's not even a cholo. That ach kasha meant, even in the kahuna sense, he's a kasha. Does it make sense that her ksheira means ksheira lakal and his kasha means kasha lakahuna? The Gemara says, why not? Hakadi isa v'hakadi isa. So the bottom line is, what do we have? We have what we began with, and that is Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Loi Huzaru Ksheirois Lehinase Lepsula. That even though a koyin is not allowed to marry a chalala, but a bas koyin is allowed to marry a chalala. Also, Rav Bar Rav Nachman. So Rav Bar Nachman asked the kasha. It says in the Torah Loi Yikachu. It says Isha Zayne V'Chalala Loi Yikachu. V'Isha Grusha Me Isha Loi Yikachu. Ki Kadoshu Loi Lekach. So it doesn't just say Loi Yikachu, but it says Loi Yikachu Loi Yikachu. And the way Rashi learns the Gemara, what we're about to learn is a result of the fact that it says the word lo yikachu tzimtzveitim. It doesn't just say it once, it says it twice. Malamid, what do we learn from the extra mention of lo yikachu? It teaches us she ha'isha museres al yedei ha'ish. That not only isha zoyne v'chalala lo yikachu from the man to the woman, but it goes both ways. It goes from the woman to the man as well. Now, what would that seem to imply? That would seem to imply that just like a kohen can't marry an isha chalala, that's what we're focusing on, so too, a bas koyin, goes both ways, can't marry an ish, that's a cholol, which is a l'chura, a akasha, a blatant contradiction to what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rab. Amar Rava, Rava said, no, that's not what the pasuk means. And it's not what this brisa means. What does the brisa mean? Lo yikachu, lo yikachu, m'lam enshishu muzeres ha'idei ish. It means something else. It means kol hecha dehu muzer, hi muzeres. Kol hecha dehu loy muzer, hi loy mizdara. What it's coming to say is that anytime it says in the Torah that a kohen is not let him marry someone, not only does he have the iser, she also has the iser. Meaning, you could have had a havamino that the Torah says, kohen, you don't marry an almana, let's say. Or kohen gadol, don't marry an almana. Okay, the Isser is on the Kohen Gadol, the Isser is not on the Amana. That's what Lo Yikachu is coming to teach me, that wherever he has an Isser, she also has an Isser. But it doesn't mean that she also has the Isser in the sense that, oh, he can't marry a Chalala, since she also can't marry a Chalala. That's what the Pasuk is coming to say. It's not the same Halacha. As a result, it's not a Kasha on Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. But the Gemara says, V'hameh hacha nafka, this Halacha that you just said, that wherever he has an Isser, she also has this. Is that really learned out from this Pasuk? Mid Rav Yehuda Amar Rav nafka, it's learned out from something Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, v'chein tanit v'Rav Yishmal. This next Gemara is a very important Gemara. Important in the Shas sense. Often quoted Gemara. It says, Isha Isha, ki yasu, Mikol Chatois Ha'adam, the end of the pasuk is Limo Mal Bashem Va'oshma Nefeshahi. So we're talking about someone did an Aveira, and it says Ish Oy Isha. So said Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, some say it came from the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael. That from the fact that the Torah is talking about an Aveira, Kiyasu Mikol Chatois Ha'adam, and it says Isha Isha, we learn from here Hishva HaKosov Isha Le'ish L'chol Oynshim Shebet Torah, that a man and a woman are one and the same when it comes to all the Oynshim in the Torah. So for example, when it comes to Mitzvah Saseh, we know there's a huge difference between a man and a woman. A man is Chayv in all Mitzvah Saseh, we're applicable. A woman is only Chayv in Mitzvah Saseh She'inaz Mangarom. But when it comes to Lavin, when it comes to Yisurim, Hishva HaKosov Isha Le'ish L'chol Oynshim Shebet Torah. Not only that, we learn another thing from here. We learn from here that anytime it says in the Torah a man can't do something, the Torah doesn't just mean the man. The Torah would mean the woman as well. If it says a woman can't do something, the Torah wouldn't just mean the woman. The Torah would mean the man as well. So if that's the case, if it says in the Torah that a Kohen Gadol can't marry an Amon, or a Kohen can't marry a Chalala, we know the Issa is not just on the Kohen Gadol, it's not only on the Kohen head, the Issa is Oichit on the Amon, also on the Chalala, also on the Grusha, also on the Zayna. Because I shouldn't need Lo Yikachu to teach me that. So the Gemara says no. Lo Yikachu is coming to teach me that Ha'isha muzeres al yedei ha'ish. That just like the man has all these isurim, the woman has the isurim as well. I know it already from Hishva Kasif Ish v'isha l'chalayim shem. It's learned out from Isha Yisha. So why would I need lo yikachu to teach me the same halacha? So the Gemara explains, because imahi, had I only had Isha Yisha, havamina, I would have thought lav has shava bakol. The only time it's true that the man and the woman are always the same, that's only if the lav is a lav hashava bakol. I have a lav she'ino shava bakol. But if you have a lav that's eino shava bakol, you have a lav that's a different type of lav. It's not something that relates to everybody, such as all the lavin of kahuna. So you would have thought, loy, over there it's different. Kamash malon, that's why I need lo yikachu to teach me that not only hishva kasav ish v'isha l'chol ha'inshin shabbatayr when it comes to regular averas, but even by the more unique avera, the lav she'enoi shava bakoil, even there you have the same halach. But the Gemara says, v'arei tumo, the lav she'en shava bakoil. Tumo is a lav she'en shava bakoil. The time of the cause of Rachmana b'nei Aharon, and we know the pasuk says, v'yemer Hashem al-Moshe emer al-Aharon b'nei Aharon, v'amart aleim le'nefesh lo'yitama ba'amav. It's the first pasuk in Parshas Emor, and what does the pasuk say? It says, tell the b'nei Aharon, le'nefesh lo'yitama ba'amav, you're koin, you're not to be matam. B'nei Aharon, we learn from the v'loy b'nei Saharon. Now it sounds like we need a miyot to tell me, b'nei Aharon or b'nei Saharon, because had I not had a miyot, I would have thought nashim chayavos. That just like b'nei Aharon are included in this tuma, so the b'nei Saharon are also included in this tuma. My time, what's the reason for this? Lav mishum, probably the Rabbi Huda Marav, probably because of what Rabbi Huda said in the name of Rav. Hishva kasev ish v'isha l'chol ha'inshin shabbatayr. Now, if you're going to tell me hishva kasev ish v'isha l'chol ha'inshin shabbatayr is talking dafka about a lav hashava bakol, but a lav she'en hashava bakol is not included. So why would I need b'nei Aharon v'lo b'nei Saharon to exclude women from tumas kayanim? What would be the havamina to include women from tumas kayanim? The only reason we include women in all the lavin is because hishva kasev ish v'isha. That's only true. You're telling me now for a lav hashava bakol. Tumas kayanim, like all these surei kayanim, are lav she'en hashava bakol. So what do I need the pasuk for? Elamai, you see from here that ish v'isha, even though it's talking about regular averus, but it means even a lav she'en hashava bakol. But the Gemara says a pasha to teretz has nothing to do with Rabbi Yehuda Merav. Rather, loy the gamrinim loy kach. The reason I need b'nei Aharon v'lo b'nei Saharon is not because if we didn't have that miyad, I would have thought isha isha hishva kasov l'rabbis even tumas kainim. Because l'olam, that's only talking about a lava shava baka. But in the cheshbon of the Gemara, we're saying now that lo yikachu is marba lav she'enu shava baka. And once I know from lo yikachu lav she'enu shava baka, so now already I know that it's not only true for lava shava bakol, it's even true for lav she'enu shava bakol. Oh, once I know it from lo yikachu, now I need b'nei Aharon v'lo b'nei Saharon to exclude b'nei Saharon. The Gemara says, ikadamri, some say, kicha is trichole, that you want to know why we needed lo yikachu, going back to the original b'raisa, it says lo yikachu twice. What does it mean? Malame, the words of the b'raisa, sho isha muzeres al yedei ha'ish. The Gemara thought it was a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda Merav, that you see from here that a bas kohen is not allowed to marry a chol. The Gemara says it's not what it means. What then does it mean? It means that just like a man has all the isurei kahuna, a woman also has all the isurei kahuna. I know that from hishva kasev ish v'isha l'chol ha'inshin shabbatayr. So the first teretz of the Gemara was from there. I would only know lav hashava bakol. I wouldn't know lav she'en hashava bakol. Ikadami, the second teretz of the Gemara is, you want to know why I need this pasuk? It's not because of a svara lav hashava bakol, lav she'en hashava bakol, but it's trichale. I need it because sol kadai t'chamina, I would have thought ligomer mitoma. I would have thought that once I have the drasha of b'nei Aharon v'loi b'nei Saharon, so say, oh, maybe that's not just a miut in Tumas Kohenim, but maybe that's a miut in all Isurei Kohuna. Kamash Malon, that's the Chiddush. That's the Chiddush. Then no, it's true only for Tumas Kohenim. It's not true for all the other Isurei Kohuna. But what's the bottom line? The bottom line is, Rabbi Huda said in the name of Rav, Lehuza Rukshayrois Lehinose Lepsulem. There's no Isser for a bas kohen to marry an apostle. First the Gemara said, maybe we have a raya from our Mishnah, there's no raya. Then the Gemara thought, maybe there's a kasha from a braisa. The Gemara said, there's no kasha from a braisa either. So a little bit of an anecdote and a postscript to this discussion. Rapapa and Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua. Rapapa and Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua, who come together throughout Shas, they're underrated, big bali plukta, iklu l'shchansiv. They were together in shchansiv. So our Gemara says hintsevu, but the Bach changes it to shchansiv. Shchansiv is of the rate bite from Rav Reuven Margolis fame, where the Gemara says Rav, when he used to go to Shchantziv, so he would proclaim, "Man havi liyoma, who wants to be my wife for a day?" And we spoke out the epic shtickle from Rav Reuven Margolis related to the Shtot Shchantziv. But either way, Rav Popov, Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, Iklu l'Shchantziv. By the way, it is a shtickle or related rate bite in the sense that the whole punchline of Rav Reuven Margolis was, he went into the geography of where exactly Shchantziv was, and based on that, he set up shot. But either way, so when they came to Shchantziv, La'asrei de Rav Idi Barabim. So who was the Mara, the Asrei in Shchantziv? It was Rav Idi Barabim. Bo minayu. So they asked Rav Idi Barabim the following question. This was the question that was asked. Who's Ruk Sheiros Linosei Lepsulin? Oy loy. So again, the question was asked not to Rav Idi Barabim. The question was asked to Rav Papa Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. Let's just set this up properly. Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, they came to Shchantziv. And Bo Minayu, they were asked the following question. Could a Ksheira marry a Pasul or not? Which is Rav's halacha. That's the halacha that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. And that is Lo Yehuzaru Ksheirois Lehinasei Lepsulim. But we don't know that right now. Real time. This is the question that was asked. Amaluhu Rapapos. Rapapo was the first one to answer. He said to Nisua. He said it's a Mefurish Mishnah. Which Mishnah? The first Mishnah in Perek Asara Yuchsin. The Mishnah over there says Asara Yuchsin Alamibal. There were 10 groups of Yichus that went from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. Kayhamim, Leviim, V'Yisraelim, Chalolim, Gerim, V'Charurim. You know what a Ger is. Charurim are Evet Knani that were Meshuchar. Umamzerim, Nesinim, Shtuki, V'Asufi. And the Mishnah says as follows. Kayhanim, Leviim, V'Yisraelim, those three groups, Mutarim, Lavi, Zebezeh. A Kohen can marry a Levi can marry Yisrael, Yisrael can marry a Levi can marry a... They can all marry each other. Leviim, Yisraelim, Chalolim, Gerim, Charurim. As it relates to that group, Mutarim, Lavi, Zebezeh. Geri, Charuri, Umamzeri, Nesini, Shtuki, Vasufi. They're Mutarim, Lavi, Zebezeh. So what we need from the Mishnah is as follows. So Rapapa said, Ve'ilu kahano is l'cholo le'katani. So notice the Kayin was not included in the group with the Chalolim. Kayhanim are with the Leviim, the Yisraelim. And then the Leviim, Yisraelim, Chalolim, Gerim, and Charurim, they're all together. The Kohen is the one that's excluded from the group of Leviim, Yisraelim, Chalolim, Gerim, and Charurim. Why? Because the Kohen can't marry everyone in that group. Specifically, a Kohen can't marry a Chalolo, a Kohen can't marry a Geyores, a Kohen can't marry a Meshuchreres, right? That's the halacha. Now, said Rapapa, if you're going to tell me that a Bas Kohen could marry a Chalol, it only goes both ways. So, shouldn't the Mishnah have said that? The Mishnah should have included the Kayhanim together with the Chalolim, because even though the Kayhan can't marry the Chalola, but the Bas Kayhan can marry the Chalol. So said Rapapa, the Ilu Kahan is the Chalol like Tani. So don't you see Mefurish from here that the Isir goes both ways? Amalei Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. So Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua said, Kol Heicha Dahani Nasbi Mehani Vahani Nasbi Mehani Katani. Could be the only time the Mishnah was going to mention it together in a group is where Taka goes both ways. Where the Zacha can marry the Nekeva, the Nekeva can marry the Zacha. Aba Kayin, as it relates to this, Kibet the Ilu Boy Laments of Chalol Asirulei. If the Kayin would want to marry the Chalol, it would not be okay. It's only the Bas Kayin that can marry the Chalol, like Katani. It's for that reason it wasn't mentioned. So the Gemara says, the Rapap and Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua come to the town of Shchantziv, and they were asked this question: a kohen can't marry a chalol. Could a bas kohen marry a chalol? Rav Papa wanted to bring a raya from a mishnah. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua was doicha the raya. So the Gemara says also the coming to Rav Idi Barabin. So they came to Rav Idi Barabin. He's the Marad Astro. They went to greet him. They sit down and they tell him, you know, we just had a shmooz and learning, and this was the question that was asked, and this is the conversation, the shakl v'tayir that we had. Amaluhu. So Rav Idi Barabin told Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. He said dardiki. Literally, mein kindelach, hachi om Rav Yehuda Marav. I don't know why you're having this conversation, because this is what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. Loi huzaru ksheirois linasei lepsulim. Now, it's a moot point. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, there's no reason for us to even be discussing this. This is the halacha, this is the messiah that comes back from the name of Rav. Interesting. So we associate Rav with Shchantziv based on that famous Gemara. Ki ikla Rav l'Shchantziv, he used to say, man havi liyoma. This is a memra that was also said over in the name of Rav in the city of Shchantziv with regards to this idea. Like huzaruk sheirois lehinasei lepsulim. So going back to the Mishnah was discussing the Seifa of the Mishnah. So we went through the first part of the Mishnah fairly quickly in the Gemara that had potential to be a lot more Gemara. But the Gemara went through it quickly, and then the Gemara shifted to discuss a little bit Shniyos Midivrei Seifrim. So the Mishnah said, Shniyos Midivrei Seifrim, What's the halacha when it comes to shniyos? So we know shniya, these are secondary arayas. These are women that are mutter midairaisa. They're aser midrabanan. We learned the sugi a little bit of shniyos in the second parak Masechtas Yevamos. At the time we spoke out the chakira of the Or Sameach, Rameir Simchas chakira. Is a shniya an erva de rabanan? Or shniya is not an erva de rabanan, right? They're all relatives. They're all erva dig. Did the chachamim give it a chumra of erva, albeit on a rabbinic level, or the stam isurei bia? That was Rameir Simchas chakira. Some Yevamos nafkaminas. But either way, the Mishnah over here revisited shniyas momentarily, and the Mishnah said shniya is midivrei soifrim. The halacha says follows: shniya lebavli, shniya liyavim. If she's a shniya to her husband, not a shniya to the yavim, asru lebal mataras liyav. Then she's going to be also to the baal, but she's going to be mutter to the yavim. She's a shniya to the husband, so she's also to the husband. But if she's not a shniya to the yavim, she's mutter to the yavim. Shniya liyavim v'loy shniya lebal. In the event that she's a shniya to the yavim, but she's not a shniya to the baal, so then asru liyavim mataras lebal. Then it goes the other way: shniya lezeh lezeh, asru lezeh lezeh. So the Mishnah first talked about different women that are also to their husbands midday raisa. Amon alakoyin gadol, mamzer, mamzeres, chalol, chalola. Right, that was the first part of the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah spoke about shniyos. And then the Mishnah compared and contrast one halacha as it relates to people that are married when they weren't supposed to be married, but the isser was an isser deraisa, and people that are married when they weren't supposed to be married, and the isser is only an isser derabbanan. So the Mishnah said like this: as it relates to a shniya, ein lo, this woman is not entitled like suba. V'loy peiros, v'loy mezoinos, v'loy balois. She doesn't get any of these things that married women are usually entitled to. V'havlad kosher. If she has a child, the child's going to be a kosher. V'koyfenos l'hoitzi. And obviously, they're shniyos, so therefore, Bezin does whatever they can possibly do in their power to make sure that this marriage ceases to exist. The Dairaisa cases, Yeshlan Ksuba. They do have Ksuba. So the Gemara is going to talk a little bit now about the halachas of Ksuba as it relates to Shniyos and the halachas of Ksuba as it relates to all these women that are now allowed to be married mid Dairaisa. So the Bnei Biri asked Rav Sheshes the following question: Shniya Labal, Veloy Shniya Liyavim. What happens if you have a woman, she's a Shniya to her husband, but she wasn't a shniya to the yavam, and now she fell a yibam? Yesh la ksuva mi yavam alai. Does she have ksuva from the yavam? Does she not have ksuva from the yavam? So a shniya does not get ksuva. That's what the Mishnah said. A woman that's a shniya to her husband, but not a shniya to the yavam, she's muteres liyaveyam. The Mishnah said that as well. Now that shniya is going to be married to the yavam, does she get a ksuva from the yavam, or does she not? That was the shayla. And the Gemara speaks out the stodim a little bit. Given the Amar Mar, being that we learned earlier in the Masechta, Ksubasan Nichsei Baila Harishan, that when the Yavam gives Ksuba, of course the Yavam has an obligation of Ksuba, but if his own estate is not Meshubit to the Ksuba, it's only Ruvain, the brother that died's estate, that's Meshubit to the Ksuba. So it could be Leslo. Being that over here the husband didn't have a Chi of Ksuba because she was a Shniya, so his whole Chi of Ksuba is just really to take over the husband's Chi of. So if that's the case, maybe there's no Ksuba. Or maybe no. Kima the Ilu Leslo Mirishin to Kinu Rabbanu Micheni Islo. Being that we also saw earlier in the parak that it's true his estate is not Meshubit, but only if the brother that died has an estate. But let's say the brother that died has no estate, there's nothing to be Meshubit, then his estate is Meshubit. So you see that on some level he does have his own Chiyuv Ksuba. So maybe, yeah, Gishmak HaChakira. This is the question that the Yidden from Biri, so we go from Shchansiv to Biri. This is the question that the Yidden from Biri asked the great Rav Sheshes. They wanted to know, a woman was a Shniya to her husband, or not shniya to the baal, she's asura to the yavam, she's asuris the baalei mutaris liyivmeh. The Mishnah, the very, very end of the Mishnah said that a shniya doesn't get a ksuba. L'chayr to the yavam, she's not a shniya, so she should get a ksuba. But what's the chakira? Being that the yavam's marriage is a shtekel ahemshich, like we spoke out from the re in the beginning of the daf, of the brother that died, marriage, nishnar dem, it impacts the laws of ksuba. How so? That in the event that the brother that died has an estate, it's only his estate that's Meshubat to the Ksuba. So you see, his Chi of Ksuba is not a fresh Chi of Ksuba. So it could be being that the husband didn't have a Chi of Ksuba. Maybe he also doesn't have a Chi of Ksuba. But then again, you see that even though it's true on some level, we look at the Ksuba as just the Hemshech of the previous Chi of. But then again, in the event that there is no previous, then he would have a Chi of. So maybe this is a good example of that. There was no Ksuba to the husband. Why? Because Shniya doesn't get Ksuba. So maybe he would have a Chi of Ksuba. So the Gemara says, this was the question that they asked Rav Sheshes. Amalu, who Rav Sheshes? Rav Sheshes just told them Tenisu. I have a raya from a brisa. The brisa says Ksubasa al nichse bay lo harishon. That whenever a woman has ksuba from the yavam, it's always the shibud is on the nechasim of the original husband. Vim hois no shnia labal. This is pretty black and white. If she was a shnia to her husband, afilu mi yavam ein la, then she's not going to have ksuba even from the yavam. So Rav Sheisha said, it's pretty straightforward. Now the Gemara just makes one diak. Afilu mi yavam ein la. Says the Gemara, b'chal de ikut de islam yavam. Sounds like sometimes a woman could get ksuba from the yavam. I just read the setup of the braisa. Ksuba always is from the husband, not from the yavam. If she was a shnia, then she doesn't even get ksuba from the yavam. You just started off by saying you never get ksuba from the yavam. You get ksuba from the husband, not from the yavam. If she was a shnia to the husband, then you don't even get ksuba. You don't even. You never get. You just said. So the Gemara says, obviously the wording is a little incorrect. Chasure nechser v'achitani. We do a little reconstructive surgery and we can make this work. Ksuba so al nechse b'ilarish. That's the opening line of the brisa. This is where we add v'i leslami rishon tegina lamisheni. In the event that the husband didn't have any nechasim, then she gets ksuba from the second one. Vim hoisna shnia labal. And in the event she was a shnia labal, then afilu miyavam ein la. Meaning, even if the yavam does have, and this is a good example of where the husband didn't have and the yavam did have, you would think maybe she should get ksuba from the sheni, and that's the chiddush kamash malon. She's not going to get ksuba from the sheni, but the bottom line is, it's pretty black and white. It's very straightforward. It's a mefurish braisa. The braisa says that being that a shnia doesn't get ksuba, if you have a situation where she's asurois lebaleim umutarois liyevmeim, through a shnia, when she falls the yibam to the yavam, she's not going to get any ksuba from the yavam, just like she was not entitled to any ksuba from her husband. By minei Rav Elazar, may Rav Yechon. Rav Elazar asked Rav Yechon the following question. Almada lekoyin gadol, grusha v'chalutza lekoyin hedyet, yesh lehem mezoinois, oy ein lehem mezoinois. Does the husband have an obligation to support his wife, or does he not have an obligation to support his wife? And the truth is, really, the question that the Meiram discussed flows very smoothly from the Mishnah. Because really, if you're going to learn the Mishnah B'Iyun, you'd wonder the same exact question. Because the Mishnah was comparing and contrasting the Shnia and the Amon Lekayin Gadol V'chule. And the Mishnah said, as it relates to the Shnia, no Ksuba, no Peris, no Mezoinus, no Balois. What about the Amon Lekayin Gadol, the Grusha V'Klutza Lekayin Hedi Mamzer, Svenesim L'Yisro, Basishol, L'Nasro, L'Mamzer, Tipshutoi, all the Chiyuve Dei Raisa, although it mentions Chalutza as well, the Gemara is going to get to that, but barring chalutza, all the psule de raisa, yeshlem ksuba. I hear, yeshlem ksuba. What about peiris? What about mezoinis? What about balois? It didn't say. So this is the question that the Meiram wanted to know, right? This is something that you would look in the Rav if you were learning Mishnayos to try to know. The Meiram did the same thing. And this was the question that they wondered. It was Rabbi Elazar that asked the question to the great Rabbi Yochanan. So this is an illicit marriage, but the marriage is a marriage. Only according to Rabbi Akiva is the marriage, not a marriage. We pass in conditions toifas b'chavi lavan. So really they're married. And because they're married, does the man have an obligation to support his wife, or does he not have an obligation to support his wife? Says the Gemara, hey chidami, let's set up the case. Let's understand it a little bit better. Is it talking about that pasha living together, that physically living together? Does it make sense? You have Bezdin, his mamish hacking this guy over the head. You have to go ahead and you have to give a get. So you're going to tell me that you're telling him on the one hand, you have to give her a get, and at the same time you're saying what? Let's go ahead and give her mezoinus. Now why is this such a stira? Right? Why is this such a stira? So Posh, it just maybe doesn't feel right. But it's even a little bit deeper than that. And the reason is because we're trying to encourage this marriage to be terminated. So what we want to do is we want to make him and her as uncomfortable as possible in this marriage by telling this woman that she can't get supported by her husband. So now already, you just ratcheted up the pressure in terms of what she's going to need to figure out to do to get a get. And it's for that reason it makes sense that if we're in a situation where it's amoid v'hoitzei koi, then we're not going to give her mezoinus. So the Gemara says, that couldn't have been what Rabbi Elazar was asking Rabbi Yochanan, and that's too obvious. Rather, the case was, he's talking about when he's not here. He's in Medina Sayyam. So right now he can't give her a get. She can't get a get right now because he's physically not here. So what happened? She was nebuch desperate. She borrowed money. And she went ahead and she ate. Now, when he comes home, there's a bill, there's a huge invoice that she's been racking up simply to survive. So who has to pay that bill? Does he have an obligation to pay it or not? And that was the question Rabbi Loz asked Rabbi Yechon. I mean, Rabbi Loz understood, if they're here right now, just give a get. That's what you're supposed to do. Don't get them so comfortable. If I can't, make them less comfortable. But he's not here. He can't give her a get right now. He's a Medina Sayyam. So the question is, if she, even though he wasn't here, somehow took money, took mezayna, he's not saying borrowed, who would be responsible? So what's the shayla? So the Gemara gives studim to the shayla. My mezayna tanai ksuba ninu. Do we look at mezayna as being part of the ksuba? And mid isla ksuba, the Mishnah says she gets ksuba, says some mezayna, maybe she gets mezayna as well. Or maybe ksuba de la mishkal, maybe ksuba, which is something she gets on the way out of the marriage, that we give her. Mezayna, like the svar that we just said, dilma ti akiv gabe. If you're going to tell her she can get mezayna, again, she's going to be too comfortable in the marriage. Lesla, maybe she doesn't get it. And even in this case, when he's not around, Amalei, so the Gemara says, this is the question Rabbi Loz asked Rabbi Yochanan. What Rabbi Yochanan tell him? Lesla, no. She's not entitled to any ksuba. She doesn't get any mezainis. After all that, it's a price of two words. Yeshla. So how could you say lesla? Yeshla. So Gemara says, Kitanya hila achamisa. That's talking about where he died already. He died, never gave her a get. He died. We know the halach is Amana nizaynis menachsi yisaymen. Amana gets supported. She gets mezaynis from the estate of all the yarshim. So there the braisa says yeshla. There she talked with get. Why? Because there you don't have the svara again that they're too comfortable in the marriage because he's not alive anyways. The marriage was terminated. It's just that she has a schus based on a previous marriage to be able to be supported. But that braisa maybe is talking about lachamis. Ista amar. Some said amale. That when Rabbi Loz asked Rabbi Yechanan the kasha, Rabbi Yechanan answered, it's a braisa. Tanya yeshla. Freit the Gemara yeshla. It doesn't make sense. You're forcing him to give a get. You don't want him to be so comfortable. So why would she be entitled to the mezainis? Tanya yeshla. What do you mean? Rabbi Yechanan said, I have a braisa. The Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yechanan, ki tanya ilachamis. Maybe the braisa is only talking about lachamis, like the Gemara said in the first lishna, not in the second lishna. Tanu Rabbanan. So we're going to start this next Gemara, and then we're going to abruptly make a short stop. Speak out some raid, and then Bez Hashem tomorrow we'll pick up this sugya. But let's make a haskal. Tan Rabbanan. Amar l'kayin gadol, grusha v'klusa l'kayin hedyet. So if you have an amar l'kayin gadol, you have a grusha v'klusa l'kayin hedyet. Yesh lo ksuba, peirois, mezoinois, balois. Here it's mefurish. She gets ksuba. The Mishnah already said that. Peirois, mezoinois. Oh, this is the braisa, that snippet of the braisa that we just brought in the previous Gemara. Vihi, psula. She becomes pasul. Amana marries a kohen gadol. She now becomes a chalala. So she's pasul forever, meaning she can never marry a kohen. Uvlada pasul. She has a child. A boy, he's a chalal. A girl, it's a chalala. The kohen oisla. And obviously, we force them, we do the best that we can to make sure that they get divorced. Shniyois midivrei seifrim. What if this marriage was only a shniyois? Ein lo ksuba. She gets no ksuba, like the Mishnah said. Not just that, loy peirois, loy mezoinois, loy balois, like the Mishnah said. V'hik sheira, she, however, is kosher. So a shnia, that's nivala, the halacha is, does not become a psula. Uvlada kosher, her children are kosher, they don't become chalalin. V'koyfenois alaitzi, but again, because they're not supposed to be married, koyfenois alaitzi. So what's the real punchline of this braisa? It's really the punchline of the Mishnah, but again, the Braisa talks a little more like the Mishnah than the Mishnah does, as it always does, a little wordier. And really what we see is what we already know. And that is, when it comes to a shniyos, we are more machmer, in a sense. Meaning, the fringe benefits of financially, that this woman ordinarily would be entitled to, she's not going to have. She doesn't get ksuba, she doesn't get perish, she doesn't get mezoinis, there's no balois. When it comes to the dairaisa, and model can go the grusha v'klutza the kain egit, yeshla ksuba, yeshla perish, yeshla mezoinis, yeshla balois. So what's the kasha? What's the difference, right? Why is it that by the dairaisa, you have ksuba, let's just focus on ksuba, and when it comes to shnia, you don't have a ksuba? That's the question, and that's the topic from here until the Mishnah on Amid Beis. Zok di Gemara, Amr Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Shimon ben Elazar said, Nei ma'amr amanu klan gadol yesh lo ksuba. Why is it that amanu klan gadol gets ksuba? He said as follows, Mipnei, the reason is, Shehu pasol v'hi psula. It's because through this marriage, he became pasol, and she became pasol. Now, she became psula, we know what that means. She's a chalala. Amanu marries a klan gadol, she's a chalala. What does it mean, he became pasol? He became pasul? Where do you find that? So Rashi, mi merchak tavi lachma, has a favor from the Gemara in Bechairis, daf mem hei amid beis, where the Mishnah over there says, hanoisei noshim ba'avera, possible. That if a kohen marries a woman that he's not allowed to marry, he's not allowed to do the avodah. So really, it affects not just her, but it affects him as well. Okay, says Rav Shimon Alaz, v'chol makom shehu possible, v'yipsula, anytime that he's possible and she's also possible, kansu oisa ksuba, so then we say he has to go ahead and give a ksuba. Why? So the Gemara is going to explain momentarily. Why is it shnias to be ksuba? Don't get ksuba, v'nesha, who kasha v'ksheira? Because the fact that he's married to a shnia doesn't affect him. And the fact that she's married doesn't affect her either. Anytime that he's kosher and she's kosher, meaning the marriage doesn't affect them, then she's the one that loses the ksuba. So in the event that he gets messed up and she gets messed up, we're coin as him. Yes, ksuba. Meaning you have to pay. In the event that no one gets messed up, who kosher v'hi kishera, then it's konsu oisa. Requires a husband. Rabbi Yoimer, Rabbi said a different reason. He said, halalu divrei Torah, the irises are the irises. The divrei Torah ain't tzrichin chizuk, it doesn't need chizuk. Halalu divrei Seifrim, the others are the Rabbanon. The divrei Seifrim tzrichin chizuk, sometimes we have to be more machma when it comes to the Rabbanons than when it comes to the irises, right? Usually we're more machma by the irises than by the Rabbanon. Most cases, whether it comes related to Suffolk and all different dinim. So we're always more machmir by the Raisins than we are by the Rabbanon. But every now and again you find the Gemara where the Rabbanon looked at it completely differently. They had a 180 degree perspective of it. They felt, I think fakir, maybe we have to be more machmir by the Rabbanons than by the Raisins. Why? Because if we're going to be makel by the Rabbanons, people may just completely disregard the Rabbanon. So sometimes you find that Chachamim Masu Chizuk L'Devreim Yoisim Mishal Tair. So said Rabbi, I think that's the Hezbollah over here. A Shnias Midivrei Seifrim. Because it's only midrabanan that it's a problem, we have to completely clamp down on this marriage. No ksuba, no mezoinis, no peiris, no balois. We have to show that this is not a good marriage. When it comes to things that are awesome, they rise, so the olam knows anyway. So therefore, we don't have to go as much. Zok Gemara davar achar. A third pshat, we have Rav Shimon ben Alaz and we have Rabbi. Zok Gemara davar achar. I'll tell you another reason. Zeh margila, vizu hi margiltai. In the case of Almana L'Kohen Gadol, Grusha V'Chalutza L'Kohen Hedyet, he's the one that's probably initiating and instigating the marriage. He's the one that proposed. He's the one that wanted this marriage. In the case of Shnia, she's probably the one that proposed. So what does this mean? It's very, very tzarech bir. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that really we always assume that the woman wants to get married more than the man. Right? There's different Gemaras in Shas. Yoyse mimashe ha'ish roitza lisa ha'isha roitza linase. Tan lemeit of tavdul milameh. The middle mace of Armelu. Right, there's different Gemaras that bring out this point, that a woman would rather, is usually the one that wants, Dal ishech tishukasech, she wants it a little more than he does, right? That's usually the way we look at marriage. However, at the same time, she's more sensitive to her becoming apostle than he does, than he is. So in the event that he's going to be apostle and she's going to be apostle, so over there there's a svara to say, that probably, although she usually is the one that wants the marriage more. So we're going to assume that she's the one that quote-unquote proposed, but over here where there's an invoice, because everyone's going to be puzzled as a result of this marriage. The kids also, by the way. So everyone's going to be having issues. So for that reason, she probably doesn't want it. She's more sensitive to that. And as a result, he's probably the one that initiated it. He's the one that initiated. We can't say him. We can't say him. Pay up the ksuba. As opposed to the case of the shnia, where no one has any problems. No, he's kosher, she's kosher, the children are ksherim. So as a result, we assume what we usually assume, and that is that she's the one that wanted it more. As a result, she's probably the initiator. She's the one that quote-unquote proposed, and it's for that reason, she's the one that's going to end up getting the ksuba. That's why shnias b'divrei seifrim loses out on the ksuba. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Zeu hu margila, v'su hi margiltai. So the Gemara says, dover achan man katanila. So really, if you read the Brice, it sounds like there were three pshatim. We had Rav Shimon ben Elazar, then we had Rabbi, and then we had the Dabra. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, we didn't explain, even though Rashi explained it, we didn't explain it, but Rav Shimon ben Elazar just said, here, everyone's possible, there, nobody's possible. Okay, Rabbi said, once they rise, once Rabbanan, chamas uchizuk tibrem yoyse bishal tayrin. Then we have the Dabra. But the Gemara knew for sure that the Dabra was really the beer in one of the two pshatim. Either it's coming to be Masber Shimon ben Elazar, or it's coming to be Masber Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Davar Achar, man katanli. Who's the one that said Davar Achar? So the Gemara says, Ikeda Amri, some said Reb Shimon ben Elazar katanli. It's really Reb Shimon ben Elazar. And this is why we didn't explain Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Was just relying on this piece of Gemara. That the Gemara itself is really going to say a hezbin Reb Shimon ben Elazar. And that is Matam Kama. Reb Shimon ben Elazar was explaining his reason. What did Reb Shimon ben Elazar say? When he's possible and she's possible, ksuba. When he's not possible and she's not possible, no ksuba. What's the hezber? Here's the hezber. It's the Davar Achar, it's the svar that we just said. Matam Amru Hu Pasal Vipsula Kansuay Siksuba Mipnesha Hu Margilo. Because in that case, we assume that even though she's usually the one that's Margil Toy, but not in the event that she's going to become Pasal and that she doesn't want that. So as a result, we assume it's him. If it's him, we're kind of sin, therefore he loses the ksuba. Matam hu kasha vi kshera kansu ksuba. Why is it if everybody's kasha, she's the one that loses the nation, he margilta. So this is the first pshat the Gemara says that who's the one that said the matam? It was Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Ikadami, some say Rebbe k'tani lo. Really, it was Rebbe. Now, says the Gemara, Rebbe k'tani lo. Why would Rebbe have to say it? Rebbe already said a nice pshat. Rebbe said the chilek between Amonel Kangadol and Shniyos is Amonel Kangadol's deiraisa. And deraisa is in its archizik. So he might as well have all the dinim of marriage. Let there be a ksuba, gesundheit. People know anyways this is not okay. But shnis midevei seifrim, where people may be a little bit lax about, they may not take it seriously enough. So chacham is also chizik ven yoyis mishal teira. And that's why over here we went and we said that there's not going to be a thing ksuba. So Rebbe already said a very nice pshat. Why do you need another pshat? And more than that, how did these two pshatim merge? Like, how do we marry these two pshatim? So the Gemara says, no. Ikadami Rebbe k'toni lo v'chalutza kokashale. Rebbe was bothered with chalutza. Meaning, Rebbe set up pshat in the Mishnah. He had a beautiful pshat in the Mishnah. By deraisas, ksuba. By rabbonans, to make chizak l'devarim, there's going to be no ksuba. You know what the problem is? One of the cases of the Mishnah's deraisas is really the rabbonan, and that is chalutza. And Rebbe had ka'art, mosvet zayin mit chalutza. For chalutza the rabbonan he, chalitza is a din deraisa, but the fact that a chalutza is also to a kayin, that's a din the rabbonan. The isla ksuba, and still this ksuba is a hadar amar. So therefore, Rebbe had to say a different shot. He had no choice but to say, kivin the pasala, being that at the end of the day, the chalutza is going to be puzzle through this marriage, midrabanon, even though it's only a psul midrabanon, but at the same time, there is a psul zem margila, v'suhi margiltai. We assume he's the one that initiated, and because we assume he's the one that initiated, so it's for that reason that the halacha is that in that case, he initiated it, he's going to have the knas, he's going to have to pay ksuba. So really, the Gemara from here till the Mishnah, which we're going to see tomorrow, is going to mention nafgaminas between Rebbe's pshat and between Reb Shimon Elazar's pshat. Just speak it out now, so we'll go a little quicker when we start the daf tomorrow, and that is the Gemara is going to come out of maskana that the matam is really Reb Shimon ben Elazar. That's the way the Gemara approaches it, the way the Rishonim explain. That the Gemara has a tzad over here. Who's the matam? Is the matam explaining Reb Shimon ben Elazar, or is the matam explaining Rebbe? The Gemara is going to say it's explaining Reb Shimon ben Elazar. So really, Reb Shimon ben Elazar is the shtickle Torah. Zeh hu margila vezu hi margil tay. And Rebbe is saying, one's the Raisa, one's the Rabbana, and the Gemara is going to speak out different nafkiminas lahalacha between these two taimen. We, however, are going to stop here and come up for breath and speak out one ha'ara, which is negeya today's daf. It also, it's going to bring together a lot of the Gemaras that we learned together, some of the Gemaras that we went through very, very quickly. I believe it's a foundational raidbite in terms of better understanding something that's very ambiguous. And that is the halachos of a chalal and the halachos of a chalala. So today's daf very, very much discussed the laws of a cholol and a chalala. So let's just chazer the ivritaych. What is a cholol? What's a chalala? And then be'ezus Hashem, get a little bit of lumdus and even some super lumdus. And that is, a cholol is a child, a boy, that was born from an illicit marriage where the father of this child is a kohen and the mother is someone that the kohen is not allowed to marry, because she's a psulei kahuna. So it's a very, very, very specific definition. Kohanim have their own shulchan aruch when it comes to yisurei bia, when it comes to women that they're not allowed to marry. A kohen can't marry a grusha, a zayna, and a chalala. A kohen gadol also can't marry an almana. In the event that one of those marriages take place, the marriages that are uniquely usher, because of the fact that he's a kohen and she's from the psulei kohuna, they have a child, the child is a boy, that boy is now going to be a chalala. What's a chalala? A chalala is one of two things. A chalala is, in the event that a kohen again married someone that he wasn't allowed to marry, one of the psulei kuna, they had a child, but not mazel tov, it's a boy. Mazel tov, it's a girl. So she's now the female version of the chalal, known as the chalala, losh nekeva. So she is the nekeva version of the chalal. Just like a chalal is the result of such a marriage, a chalala is the same thing. However, there's another way for a woman to become a chalala. And that is, in the event that you have a woman that's not allowed to marry a kohen, she's one of the women that are asurois uniquely to a kohen. And for example, she's an almana who can't marry a kohen gadol. She's a grusha, she's a zayna. The halacha is, in the event that she marries a kohen, or even if she was only nivala to a kohen, the halacha is, she becomes a chalala. In that case, she will become a chalala. So, a chalal happens in one case, and in one case only. And that is, you have a kohen who married one of the psulei kuna, had a son, that son is a chalal. A chalala is either where a kohen married one of the psulei kuna, had a girl, that girl is going to be a chalala. Or if you have a woman that wasn't allowed to marry a kohen, a grusha, a zayna, a almana, and they married this kohen or kohen gadol that they weren't allowed to marry, because of the bia, they are nischalala, and they now become a chalal. That's what a chalal is, and that's what a chalala is. Now, what's the halacha of a chalal? The halacha of a chalal is that he loses all the rights that he has as a kohen. Just to read one Lashon HaRambam in Hilchas Yisurei Biyah, it's Perik Yotes Halacha Yod. The Rambam says, Avol cholol shal teira, a cholol shal teira, harehu kizar. He's like a czar. V'noisei grusha, marry a grusha. U'metame l'meisim. He could even be metame to a meis. Shenema emar ala kihana b'nei aharoin, afal pi shehem b'nei aharoin, at sheyiyu b'kihunam. So says the Rambam, you want to know what a cholol is? He's kizar. This Rambam's in Hilchas Yisurei Biyah Perik Yotes Halacha Yud. The Rambam in Perik Zayin Hilchas Trumas over there is discussing the laws of Truma and says that a cholol is not allowed to eat Truma. Why? Because the Rambam's lashon is Hareyu Kizar. So what's a cholol? A cholol essentially is kizar, and a chalala for the same matter is the same thing. So the side of cholol is that even though my father's a kohen, so doesn't that make me a kohen? Believe it or not, not necessarily. It's possible for someone to have a father a kohen, and he's harehu kizar, and it's l'chumra and l'kula. It's l'chumra, you can't eat truma, you can't do the avoida, but it's also l'kula. Noisei grusha, umetame l'meisim, it goes both ways. That's true for a cholol, and that's going to be true for a chalala as well. Everyone knows the first Mishnah, Masechtas Magis. Me'id keitzad o'edem nasim zoymimin. It's up to Mishnah, me'id, and on which plane is who ben gerusha o'y ben chalutza, ein oymrim yaseze ben gerusha o'y ben chalutza tachtov, el aloik arbam. The Mishnah begins as if it's about to tell us the laws of Hazama, and then the Mishnah gives us the one exception to the rule of the laws of Hazama. The first Gemara is Kashim, Masechtas Makis. But either way, the Mishnah begins and tells us what would happen if two Edom walk into Bezdin and they say, Me'idinanu b'ish pleini, Shehu ben Gerusha ben Chalutza. We're saying Edus about this person. Everyone knows he's a Kayan. Well, I have a little bit of information. And that is, we have intel that his mother was a Gerusha, which means that he's a Chalal. Or his mother was a chalutza, which means he's a chalom midrabbana. So me'idin onu bish ploini shehu ben gerusha oy ben chalutza ein oimrim. We don't say yasezeh ben gerusha oy ben chalutza tachtov. We don't say that in the event that these two edom are now found to be edom zoimimim. Oh, so let's say vasisam leikasha zomim lasas lachim, which is what we always say. You wanted this person to be a chalol, we're going to make you into a chalol. We don't say that. Rather, what do we say? Elo leikar bon, instead you get malchus. How do we know that? So the Gemara learns it, Vasisim loy, loy v'loy lazaroy. That's the first daf in Masechtas Makis. But what's the halacha of the Mishnah? Two Edom walked into Bezin, they said, Edus about a certain person who everyone knew to be a Kayin, that he's a chalal. How did they know he's a chalal? They said he's a ben Gerusha, a ben Chalutza. Then they were found to be Edom Zoymimim. Ordinarily, Vasisim loy kasha zalman lasas lachim. So the Mishnah, Ein oimrim yasas and ben Gerusha, ben Chalutza tachtav. Elo loy karbam. Instead, all they're going to get is Makis. But there was a havamina, ben benoy shall havamina, that the halacha of these Eidim would be that they are subject to the usual and customary punishment of kasha zomam, which is, they wanted this year to be a chalal. You know what we're going to do to you? We're going to make you into a chalal. Zok the Heiliger Rashi in the Mishnah, right here in the beginning of Masech des Makis. Ein oim. Zok Rashi, im husmu, fehen koyhanim, in the event that they were found to be zoymimin, and they were koyhanim. So we don't say yasazeb ben gerusho ben chalutza tachto. Rashi said that that's Pasha, the Mishnah's case must be talking about, with the two Edom that walked into Bezdin were Kehanim. Why? Because if they're not Kehanim, what's the Havamino that they should somehow now become Chalolim? A Kohen could be a Chalol. What's a Chalol? A Kohen is someone whose father's a Kohen, who married one of the Psulei Kohuna, and this is, he was their offspring. That's the definition of a Chalol. So if there's a Havamino that this person should be a Chalol by virtue of Kasher Zaman, Bal Karchach, we're talking about a Kohen. Because if he's not a Kohen, Zok Rashi, the Mishnah Poshet has no words. So Bal Karchach says Rashi, Im Huzmu, Zehen Kohanim, Azoi State in the Heiliger Rashi. Stating that, the Ritva, right here on the Mishnah, brings Rashi, and then he says, Avol betoisves berisho. This is not a toisves here on the side of the Gemara. But the Ritva says that the Bali toisves learned differently. That it could be the Aloch of the Mishnah of Mi'ide Nonu Bishploinu Shuban Gerutsu Ben Chalutz is lav dafka talking about a Kohen, but it could be the Hochi Nami Misni Be'ed Yisrael. It could be it's talking about even where he was an Eid Yisrael. Now, if he's in Yisrael, what's the Havamino that you should say Kasher Zomam? What would it even mean? Kasher Zomam to give someone Mises Besen. You kill him. Give someone Malchus. Give him Malchus. Pay 100 zuz. Okay, swipe your credit card. What does it mean? The Yids of Yisrael. He never got the first Aliyah in his life. He doesn't duchen anyways. He's anyways allowed to marry a grusha. He's anyways allowed to be metabol amesim. No one's giving him truma regardless. So what does it mean that we don't say that he's a cholol? Bos meit a cholol. He's a Yisrael. Zok the Ritva that the Bali Toisvah said. I'll tell you what it means. Deloyam rinod sheyehei poisel isha bibiyosoy lekohuna. There is a halacha, said the Ritva, that could theoretically be Nogeya or Yisrael, where maybe if we gave him dinam of a chalol, it would impact his life somehow. Now, this is a very abstract halacha. Halacha that ordinarily you probably have to start mishing gemaras to even know what it means, but we're holding in the sugya right now. And that is, the nafkamina would be, the halacha is that if a woman marries a chalol, she becomes a chalala. So again, how does a woman become a chalala? It's in one of two cases. Either because her father was a kohen and she was the offspring of someone that her father kohen wasn't allowed to marry. She was in a cave, but that's how she becomes a chalala. But we said there's another way you could become a chalala. And that is a woman that's nivala l'psulei kohuna. So if an alman is nivala to a kohen gadol, she becomes a chalala. Grusha or chalutza or zayna is nivala to a kohen hadyet, she becomes a chalala. One of the ways you could become a chalala, we learned it in yesterday's daf, it was something that was clear in the Mishnah, and that is if a woman, an isha ksheira, was nivala to a chalal, the halacha is she then becomes a chalala, and she is no longer allowed to marry a chalal. Right, where do we see it in our Mishnah? Just to make it very, very clear, the Mishnah was discussing elu mutarois lebaleim vasurois leivmeim, and the second case was chalal shenasa ksheira v'yesh loy ach kasher. Chalal shenasa ksheira, once she married this chalal, even though she's be'etzem an isha ksheira, she becomes a chalala. So if she ever fell a yibum to the ach kasher, she'd be asuris liyivmeim. The only reason she's mutar lebaleim, because he's a chalal anyways. A chalal can marry a chalal. But either way, it's something very clear in our sugya. And that is, there's another way to become a chalal. So says the Ritva, that's what the chiddush of the Mishnah was. La'ilam, the Mishnah is talking about, where Me'idanana was talking about that with Yisraelim. What's the kasha? Ein oimrim, that he should become a chalal. What does it mean? He anyways has no shaykhis to all the dinim of chalal. I'll tell you one din where maybe it would have been a geya. You know where it would have been a geya? It wouldn't have been a geya to say that maybe we should say kasha zaman, so that if this Yisrael got married, the woman that was nivala to him would never allow to be married to a kohen, because through the bia we would treat her as if she was nivala to a chalal, and just like a nivala to a chalal becomes pasul a kohen, so too she would be pasul a kohen. Al kapanim, a machlek is Rashi and Ritva had a little pashim shot of the Mishnah. Be the nonu bishploy nishvengru tzvan chalutz zok teilek Rashi. They hate kohanim. Why? Because if they're not kohanim, what's the havamina to be even be talking about kasher zomam? Where's an egeya kasher zomam that you're a chalal? I'm a yisrael. What shayches? Shkoyach, doesn't affect me. So, no, it does affect you. Now it affects you in the event that this man is married. So there's a woman that was nivela to him, and he dies, let's say, so now she's an amana, usually is allowed to marry a kohen, she would be asked to marry a kohen. That's what would have been. Kamash blonde, you don't say that. That's not the grace of Einish. Rather, like our bomb, that's an aggressor Einish, and that's what the Einish of Kasha Zamam is in the Mishnah. Rav Shmuel Rizovsky, in his Shiurei Rav Shmuel, says, that l'chayre yesh loymar, half love a fellow, that this machloik is between Rashi and the Ritva, it's really the Shita Sayim and another Gemara. A Gemara that we learned together not so long ago. It's a Gemara Masechtes Yevamos, Daf Mem Hei Amun Aleph. So the context and the sugya over there was, Oyved Keichavim Ve'eved Haba'al Bas Yisrael, Havlad Kosher or Havlad Mamzer. Right? One of the sugyas that underrated emerges many times throughout the Masechta. So you have a father that's an Oyved Kechavim or an Eved. He's a non-Jew. He was Baal Bas Yisrael. So what's the halacha with the child? Is the child going to be a mamzer? Or is the child not going to... Or is the child going to be a kosher? So it's a big machlokes in the Gemara. And the Gemara says like this, Rabbi Shua ben Levi Omer. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said that even according to the Manda Omer that holds, that Oyved Kechavim, the Eved, Baal Bas Yisrael, the Vlad is kosher. But at the same time, the Vlad is going to be pogum. So even though the Vlad is kosher, but the Vlad is going to be pogum. What does it mean, pogum? Zok de Gemara, pogum le kahuna. The Vlad will be pogum le kahuna, and kalvachayme me alman. Against the kalvachayme, ma alman al kain gadol she'in isura shavabakol b'na pogum. Zus she'isura shavabakol, ein edin she b'na pogum. If an alman al kain gadol, which is only a lav she'in shavabakol, like we also saw in today's daf. What's the halacha with the child? The child is a cholol, the child is a pogum. So certainly a child that's born from oivik echavim ve'evin al babas Yisrael, which is a lav shavabakol, no one's allowed to marry a non-Jew. So if that's the case, certainly the halacha is going to be that the Vlad should be pogum. Klar? So, Oyved Kechavim Ve'Eved Habal Bas Yisrael, HaVlad Kosher, according to many. However, at the same time, the Vlad is still going to be pogum. Sogt Rashi. What does it mean that the Vlad is going to be pogum? Says Rashi, B'na pogum sounds like it's the son, right? It sounds like the son is going to be pogum. So Rashi says, Lav Dafka. It can't mean the son. The Hapshita, Ben Oyvedes Kechavim Lav Koyenu. Pogum means you're a cholol. This child is a cholol? This child's not a kohen anyways. So if he's not a kohen, what does it mean he's a cholol? A cholol is a kohen who gets stripped from all the rights that ordinarily he would have as a kohen. Bein l'chkula and bein l'chumra. But that is what a kohen is. So if Zok Rashi, what does it mean b'na pogum? The tat is dachan ein a Yehudi. So fashteitzach, he's not a Yid. If he's not a Yid, how could he be a cholol? It doesn't make sense. You know what it means, Zok Rashi? It doesn't mean bina. What it means is bita. That's what it means. And what does it mean, bita pogum? Oh, that means something. It means that she's a cholol. And it means that the cholol will not be able to marry a kayin. That's what it means. It means that she's a cholol. A cholol can't marry a kayin. So Rashi, there's no Havana in Bnei Pogum. Because being that he's Yisrael, so anyways, he's Mufka from all the Dine Kahuna. So it can't mean Bnei Pogum. By the way, maybe it means that he's a Cholo, so he can't marry a Bas Yisrael. That was today's daf. Om Rav Yudam Rav Loi Huzaru, Ksheirois Melihi Nasei. That's not true. That's not the halacha. So Bal Karchach, there's no Nafkamina in the world as it relates to the son. You know where it would happen Nafkamina? Bita. To tell me that Bita, she herself is going to be a pogum, that moving forward, she'd never be able to marry a kohen. Why? Because she's treated like a chalala. That's not usually what you think of when you think of a chalala. Chalala, you're right. Kal v'chaymer me'almona l'kohen gadol. This is the grace of Chiddush in the Gemara. So Rashi says it's not b'na pogum. It's a misnomer. B'na lav dafka. What it really means is Bita. The Ritva on this Gemara right here, Yevamos Mem Hei Amud Aleph, he brings B'shem the Ramban, that the Ramban says that when it says Vlad Pogum, it means Vlad Pogum Likahuna even the Ben. Isaac the Ritva, where's it Negei the Ben? He says, I'm going to tell you where it's Negei the Ben. Where it's Negei is that we treat him like a cholol, that in the event that he gets married, so there was a woman that was nivela to him, we look at her as a woman that was nivela to a cholol, and it's mevuah in our Mishnah, Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, that a ishak sheri that's nivela to a cholol, what's the halacha? She now becomes a cholol. So that's where this is going to be negeya. So v'davka amri b'na pogum. So you don't have to be madchik like Rashi that b'na is lav davka. He brings Rashi. So you don't have to be madchik like Rashi and say that it's bita. It could be negeya even b'na. Does say Rashi was mefarish that b'na is lav davka. It must mean bita because there is no nafka mina b'na. And the Ritva said no mechatesi. It could be even B'na, where would it be negeya that this person who's not a koyin is a chalal? I'll tell you where it's negeya. Where it's negeya that this person who's not a koyin is a chalal in the event that a woman was nivelat to him, she now will become a chalala. That's where it's negeya. Zokrab Shmuel, haflo a fellow. Rashi and the Ritva, both l'shitasayo. He says, I have two Rashis and Ritvas in Shas. One is in Makis Dabez, and the other one is Yevamis Memhe. You see, everything is tied into each other. And in both places, Rashi went out of his way to say that there's no such mitzias that a Yisrael could be a cholo. The Ritva in both places commented, it's nishtemis. It could be a Yisrael could be a chol. I'll tell you what the nafkamina is. The nafkamina is that we treat him like a chol in the event that a sheir was nivela, she now becomes a chalala, and she won't be able to marry a koyim moving forward. As I state in Shiur Reb Shmuel in the beginning of Masechtas Makis, Abdemis says, the sheet of the Ritva is l'chur etzarech bir. Because really what the Ritva is being mechadish is that it's possible for a Yisrael to be a chalal. L'chare, how could a Yisrael be a chalal? By definition, isn't a chalal a koyein shenis chalal kedushas kehunasa? That's what the mitzvah is. Yeah, you could give anyone any dinim. Kal v'chayimer me'amara l'kan god, I hear. But l'chare, does it make sense that a Yisrael should be a chalal? What's the pshat? So l'chur it's sarach bir, but the emes is, it's a tois. It's a tois, and really, this is bringing us to our punchline. And just to understand a little bit the lumdus, hopefully this clarifies this inyan a little bit. Just to open up abyssal, be poiseach the lumdus of understanding the sugya of chalal and the sugya of chalal. So what's the halach of a chalal? A chalal is, Rambam's lashon is, hareu kizar l'chal dvarav. And the emes is, this Makaris to this Rambam. I'm just going to mention two. One is a Gemara that we learned together. Again, this is Mamash Chazara. So one is a Gemara that we learned together in Perika Oral, Daf Ayin Dalet. So the Gemara there was discussing the halacha that a Tome is not allowed to eat Truma. Ha'oral lo yoichel b'truma, v'atmeim lo yoichel b'truma. That's the mission in the beginning of Perika Oral. So the mission is, v'chol atmeim, mino hani mili. How do you know that a Tome is not allowed to eat Truma? So the Gemara said, Om Rabbi Yoichel Mishum Rabbi Shmo. Om Akro, it says in the Pasuk, Ish, ish, mizera aharoin, v'hutzarua izav, bakachim lo yoichel. Now, what does this pasuk mean? This pasuk is talking about truma. How do you know that? Because the Gemara says like this: Ezeu davar sheshava bizarri shel aharon. Ish ish mizera aharon. It sounds like we're talking about something that shava bizarri shel aharon. So says the Gemara, what's an example of something that shava bizarri shel aharon? Meaning it's negeya by schorim and nekevis. Hevoim is that truma? Must be truma. Why? Because if bakachim lo yoichel, the pasuk means kachim. Kachim is not shava bizarri shel aharon. It's very not shava. And the reason is because Kachim Kalim, even the Kavis could eat, but Kachim Kadashim is only eaten Lezichrei Kahuna, Zachar and Kai. So being that Kachim Kadashim is only Nechel Lezichrei Kahuna, so Kachim as a whole, as a group, is not considered Shavu Bazar Shal Aharon, and it's for that reason the halacha of Ish Mizera Aharon, Dovra Shavu Bazar Shal Aharon, must be talking about Shruma. As I talk to Gemara, Freit the Gemara Kasha, you mean to tell me Shruma is Shavu Bazar Shal Aharon? How could that be? L'chayre truma nami eino b'chalala. What about a chalala? A chalala, and a chalal for that matter as well. A chalal and a chalala cannot eat truma. So it's not shava b'zari shalaharin. There are people that are zari shalaharin that can't eat truma. Zok de gemara. Chalala, lav zari daharin. Chalala, that's not shava b'zari shalaharin. Chalala is not zari shalaharin. A chalal and a chalala, they lose their shaychis to zari shalaharin. The Rambam's lashon. Koyein, cholol, hareyu kizar. And it's l'kula l'chumra. It's nit zari shalaharoin. And if he's not zari shalaharoin, see, he's going to be mufkal again. That's one Gemara. Another Gemara is a Gemara Masechtas Kedushin Daf Samechvav. Now that Gemara tells a story. It's a fascinating story. Too long for now. But the Gemara is discussing Yanei HaMelech. And the Gemara says Yanei HaMelech, he came back from one of his great victories out at war. And he was very, very besimcha. So he called all the Chachmei Yisrael, and he prepared a feast. And during the feast, somebody whispered into Yanei HaMelech's ear, his name was Elazar ben Pu'ira. The Gemara refers to him as an Ish, Leitz, Lev, Ra, Ubilial. Well, that's who he was. Zachar Latoif. But either way, Elazar ben Pu'ira, sarcastically. So he comes and he whispers into Yanei HaMelech's ear, that's his legacy. And he tells him, Yanei HaMelech, you should know, as a state of Zayn Matzeva, Liban Shal Prushim Alecha. He said, you should know that the Liban Shal Prushim, he says, all the Prushim, all the Pharisees, they're not happy with you. He says, I'm telling you, they're here, they're all smiling at you, but I'm telling you, deep down, they don't hold at you. He says, really prove it to me. He says, you want to prove it? I'll prove it. He says, Ma'a, I said, Hokalem B'tzitz, Shevin Einecha. He says, put on the tzitz. Yanai was a kohen, and it's a gehalten a kohen gadol loichet. So he said, put on the tzitz. You see what's going to happen. So he put on the tzitz, and he looks around the room. Anyone have a problem with the fact that I'm wearing the tzitz? And unfortunately, hayisham zaken echad. There was an alti yid, the Yehuda ben Gedidya shemoy. Vayom Yehuda ben Gedidya l'anei melech, and Yehuda ben Gedidya turns to Yanai melech, and he said, Yanai melech. Listen to the words of the Gemara. Rav loch keser malchus. It's enough, your king. Hanach keser kohuna lezari shal aharon. Leave the keser kohuna for the descendants of aharon. Why? What shaychus? Everyone who Yanai HaMelech was a king. According to one mandama, Yanai HaMelech was Yochanan Kohen Gadol. None other than the famous Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So he's certainly a Kohen. So why did they tell him this? Because people used to say, Imay Nishbis Bim Maydim. That before he was conceived, his mother had been captured in Maydim. Which made his mother a Zoyna. And if she was a Zoyna, so it comes out that he's a Chavol. V'yevukash HaDavar, they investigated it. V'loy Nimtza. And they couldn't corroborate this rumor. And everybody left. All the Jews left. They ran out to the closest exit because everybody was very embarrassed. The Gemara says that Elazar ben Pira told Yanai HaMelech, he says, you're the king. I understand. They were mevaza you like this. You're just going to let this go? See, what do you want me to do? He says, if you'd ask me, I would say kill them. So he said, Vos ved zayn mit the Torah. He says, the Torah is muneches bekeren zavis. Don't worry about the Torah. The Gemara says, Yanai HaMelech went and he killed every single one of the Chachmei Yisrael. The only person that he kept alive was Shimon ben Shetach. He was a shvager, his wife, the sister, hit him, kiyodua, and the Gemara tells the story there about Yanai HaMelech. But the bottom line is what happened? We need the lumbus of the story. That Yanai HaMelech puts on the tzitz. And they said, Yanai, Rav l'cho kesem malchus, hanach, leave the kesekuna l'zari shalaharen. Fregich. He wasn't Zari Shal Aharon. Of course he was Zari Shal Aharon. He was a Cholo. What was the psul? They didn't find out that his father was a Levi, that his father was a Yisrael. They found out that his mother was a Zayna. I hear she was Nishbis. But at the same time, what doesn't make him the Teretz? Is the Gemara in Yavam is a Barak Arlai and Dalam and Beis. The Gemara says, Chalol Alav Zari Da Aharoni. So it's beforeish in the Gemara. What's the nature? What's the gather of a Cholol and a Cholol? The gather of a Cholol and a Cholol is you lose your Dine Kuna. Right? As I state, Lav Zari shall aharini, l'shoyne azov shall aramam in his yad chazaka, that a cholol is kizar l'chol davar, both ways, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. Stating that, Reb Chaim Brisker, in Chedushei Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi, al harambam, it's 2 days in a row. And this is in Perik Yud Zayin, halacha beis, 3 days in a row, not counting the day that there was no rain. But in Perik Yud Zayin, halacha beis, in Hilchas Yisur Rabbia says, that although that's klar, and it's mavur that the gather of a chol and a chalol is that you lose your status as being zari shalaharin hareu kizar l'chol davar like the lashon of the Rambam. But it's clear, said Reb Chaim, sedat zveitedin. Thus says Reb Chaim said, yesh lachgar a chalol is that the pshat? It's not a psul. There's no psul chalol. All chalol means is you lose your dine kuna. You're a kayan because you're a kayan. You had certain dinim. A chalol is a zar. It's not that you have a psul, ich bin a kol, a cholo, you kurish might be so chol. Chol is just our way of identifying this person as not anymore having any kedushas kohuna. I said, Reb Chaim, maybe it's a positive psul called chol. It's a musik fin a mamzer, it's a musik fin a zoyna, it's a musik fin a cholo, where it's a shem psul. So Reb Chaim said, I'll prove to you it's a shem psul. You know what it's right? It's Reb Chaim and Sefer. So I'll prove it to you. He said, because the halacha is, how does a woman become a chalolo? One or two ways. Either father's a kayin, married one of the psulei kuna, or you have a woman that was nivela to a kayin when she's one of the unique psulei kuna that's not allowed to be nivela to a kayin. For example, an almano le kayin gadol. An almano was nivela to the kayin gadol. The halacha, she becomes a chalolo. That halacha is true, even if this almano was a Yisraelis. It's pashat. Even if she's a Zara. A grusha that's nivela to a kohen hegyet becomes a chalala. Only if she's a bas kohen? Of course not. Even if she's a hegyet. Zok Reb Chaim, you see from here that the psul chalala is shayach even to a Zara. It's shayach even to a Yisraelis. Said Reb Chaim, if the whole cheftz of chalal and chalala is that you lose, it's nischalal, the kedushas kohuna, so then it would have to be unique to kohanim. How could there be a musig and a mitzias of chalala Baya Yisrael is a Baya Zara. So Reb Chaim said it's Muchach fin Danet. As to do a Tzveite din in every Chalala. As to do a Chefza fin Hashem Psul Chalala. In other words, it's clear the Gemara says in Yevamos Ayin Dalet Amid Beis. And the Gemara says in Kedushan Samach Vav Amid Aleph. That a Chalal loses Zara Shal Aharit. For sure does stay. Hareu Kizar L'chol Dover. Oh, but so do a Tzveite din. So do a din that there's a Chaloy Shem Psul Chalala. And there's do a Chaloy Shem Psul Chalala. How do I know that, said Reb Chaim? Because if all it is that you lose your Shem Kahuna, then it would be exclusive to Kayhanim. It wouldn't be something that shaykh when it comes to Chalolim. And from the fact that you see it even by Chalolim, so Reb Chaim said that's a Raya Zoysay Meris, it's Chlore Diburim, that it must be that this is true, that there is a Chaloy Shem Psul. And really, Stot Tzvei Dinim, right? Just L'Saber Asa Oizim. When we learned Perek Aro, we spoke at the famous Chakira from the Beis Halevi. Mila, right? There's a mitzvah, Mila, to remove the Arla. He said, what's the mitzvah? Is it because the Arla is a bad thing? And you want to remove something bad? Or is it because to be a mal was a good thing? And basically, he said, there's two dinim. The Mishnah says, Ma'usa Arla, the Arla is a bad thing. And the Mishnah also says, Gedoyla Mila, Shenichus Arla, Shalish Esrabisis. It's a good thing. That's what Chalal is. Chalal is Tatzvei Dinim. It removes, it takes away the Kedushas Kohuna, but it's also a Toysefes Pagam, right, in the opposite. But it's a Toysefes Pagam, because right now this person's going to be a Chalal, this person's going to be a Chalala. But I'll kopon it. Hanivur Midivre Reb Chaim. Is as the dot zwei dinim in chalol and chalala. Ein din which is miyuchis and mesuyim only to kohanim, that it's neschalo the kedushas kohuna. But it's not an under din. So that tzveite din, it's a psul. And Reb Chaim was meichiach from every chalala that psul is shayach, even to a Yisraelis, even to a Zara. If that's the case, it's Pashit, that's the Hezber in the Ritva. That's the Oimik in the Ritva. The Ritva said in two places, in Yevamos Mem Hei, and in Makis Dav Beis, that there's a concept that you can have a Yisrael. And the nature of this Yisrael is going to be, the way we're going to view this Yisrael is we're going to see him as someone that is going to have dinam of a chalal. And we say, how could that be? If he's a Yisrael, it doesn't make sense for him to be a chalal. And Pashtus, that's why Rashi in Yevamos Mem Hei, and that's why Rashi in Sanhedrin Dav Beis went away from learning that pshat. Because Rashi held, how could a Yisrael be a chalal? Through Kasha Zomam, Eve Vekuti Ababas Yisrael, Kavachemim Amonel Kangadol. But at the end of the day, it doesn't start because a Yisrael can't be a chalal. The Teretz is Reb Chaim. The Teretz is every chalala. Every chalala is a Zara. Every chalala is a Yisraelis. And Afal Pikein, the Teretz is because although it's true, the Pashit, the Pshutei Shal Mikra of a chalala is that it's Nischalala is Kedushas Kuna. But so do an Andere din. So do a Tzveite din. So do a Psul Be'etzem, a Pgam called chalala. And that you see from chalala is not Mesuyim necessarily Dafka to a Bas Koyen. You see a Yisraelis can also be a chalala. If a Yisraelis can be a chalala, why can't a Yisrael be a chalala? And that's the Ritva. Two places, the Ritva says that it could be this Yisrael that's going to be a chal. Now you're going to ask me, Lamay Nafkamina? He anyways can be Matamal Mesim. He anyways can marry a Grusha. He anyways can't do the Avoida. No one's giving him Truma, Trumas Maisra, Bikurim, and Chazav Ashoik, and all the Matnas Kuna. Anyways, he anyways can't do him. I have a Nafkamina. I have an academic Nafkamina. Nafkamina is, now we look at him as a chal that in the events a woman was Nivalut and now she's going to be possible. But the concept, the lumdis of how it would be possible to have a Yisrael that's going to be a chal. This is the Havana. There's more Be'ezus Hashem, but we're going to stop part one right here.